Are you ready for some word this morning?
Yeah.
I may believe this is the word of life.
Yes.
The bread of life, right? It's what we feed on. Not only does the word, you know, fuel you spiritually, it transforms our soul. The Bible talks about salvation of the soul. A lot of people get it confused with salvation of the spirit. Well, that's just people getting born again. No, when you get born again, you get a new nature. But saving of the soul is the result of spending time with God's Word. Time in prayer, God, time of God changing how you think, that you think more in line with the kingdom than you do the natural. You follow me? And when you think in terms of the kingdom instead of the natural, you can make kingdom decisions. And when you make kingdom decisions, you can function supernaturally. We're called to be supernatural beings. We're not the same people we used to be. Right? And so, come with me to Isaiah. We were here last week. Let's go here again. Isaiah chapter 32. Praise you, Jesus. And it just came to me this week. I need to spend more time in this vein that we started last week. It says in Isaiah 32, verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Now, the work of righteousness brings peace and assurance. So the question arises, what is the work of righteousness? Well, the work of righteousness is really twofold. The first work of righteousness is when you're born again, God makes you righteous. When you give your life to Jesus, you make Him not just Savior, but Lord. He comes inside and He changes your very nature. He changes you from a sinner to a saint. And while I didn't feel any different, no, but God did a change on the inside beyond your natural feelings.
Amen.
It's even beyond your emotions. It's on a whole different dimension in the third heaven that God made the change. And now the way you know it is you don't want to do the things you used to do. You know, before I was born again, I was a sinner and I practiced it. I looked forward to it. I mean, I tried to plan my sin. You may know what I'm talking about. I know you guys got saved when you were three. But me and Wayne...
And Barry.
We have a different story.
And Barry have a different story. And Robert's right in there as well. We're all in there.
You know, I was just thinking, not what a big job it was to change us. That was a project.
We would not believe the man Robert used to be.
I cannot believe.
And each of us. And we actually prided ourselves on our sin levels. And we took pride in the kinds of sin that we involved ourselves in. Right? I mean, how many beers could you drink? You know, could you drink a pint or half pint or a fifth or whatever of whiskey? You know, you prided yourself. Patty was on a different level. Hers was on a chemical level, what she could do.
Now, I don't know about them, but to me at the time it was fun, but I didn't know what fun was until I quit all that.
That's right.
But when you get boring, and God comes on the inside, changes you, and now you don't want to do that anymore.
Amen.
Now, your mind still remembers some of the fun of it, and it may try to pull you that direction. But inside, it doesn't sit right. Do you follow me? Inside, God changed your nature, and the stuff you used to do for fun, you may still want to do it, thinking it will produce, you know, enjoyable times, but it doesn't. When you're done, you realize, I didn't enjoy that. That wasn't fun. And it's because you have a new nature. Now listen, I know that once you're born again, you're still going to sin. We're still going to make mistakes, right? But doesn't change who you are. Do you follow me? You know, there's a bunch of people in the world right now. They had a big protest day yesterday.
No kidding.
And the nation was full of people dressed like cats and dogs and all kinds of wildlife and aquatic life. I mean, dressed up and acting like they're a dog or a cat. Some men dress up like they're women. Some women dress up like they're men. But you know, it does not change who they are. A guy could dress up like a dog all he wants to and lift one leg. He's still a human being. You follow me? You're not going to violate those genetics. God made things produce after the...
What a visual!
I
wanted
to say he's still a dog.
I didn't mean to lose you with that one. Come on back to me. Come on back.
That was an image.
Just because you call yourself a kitty cat doesn't mean you're a kitty cat.
It's true. Wow.
And just because you made sin, and just because you still consider yourself a sinner saved by grace, you're not. You cannot be a sinner saved by grace.
I love that.
Amen. You were a sinner, now you're saved by grace. Now you're a new creation, and the things you used to do, you don't enjoy anymore. And God's plan is from the moment we're born again, we start transitioning to live more and more in the image of what He made us into.
That's right.
Jesus is the fullness of righteousness. Do you follow me?
Mommy.
We're commanded to walk in that image. Walk as Jesus did. Right? And that will be in a righteous fashion. Now, the first thing that happens regarding righteousness, the work of righteousness, back to that, is you were born again. What work was done on the inside of you. The second work of righteousness is what God does through His Word and His Spirit, ministering to you to now walk out what He did on the inside. Did you follow me? Now we're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Now we're going to walk in the love of God. And it says this will produce a peace. Both of them. Now let's break this down. Work of righteousness shall be peace.
Yes.
The first work of righteousness is you're born again. Are you guys with me? I need my chalkboard today. But we're going to break it into two groups. In fact, over here is going to be the first work of righteousness. You're born again. Over here is the second work of righteousness. You're working the Word to develop your understanding of who God made you now. You're coming into the recognition, I'm a new creation. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm now a saint. And God doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as a replication of Jesus Himself.
That's right.
Again, before the cross, Jesus was called the only begotten of the Father. After the cross, He was never called that again. Look at the Word. He was called the firstborn among many brethren. So, God sees you once you're born again. Whether you get a hold of the folly or not, He sees you as righteous because that blood is cleansing, has cleansed that nature, sin nature out of your life.
Yes.
And He sees the inside. He sees who He made you.
Yes.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
And so the first work of righteousness over you're born again is now because God's taken away your sin, you have peace with God. You have peace with God. He's not upset. He doesn't see you as His enemy anymore. He doesn't see you working against Him. He sees you now on His side. And you have peace with God. So much peace that God says, now you can come into my temple anytime, 24/7, and fellowship with me. He did such work on the inside of you. The Spirit of God came inside of you to live. And if you were a sinner, He couldn't do that. And now you have peace between you and God.
Yeah.
Our realtor that we're working with goes to church in our Lexington church. Kevin Mangle. Does anybody here know Kevin? A few of you. Kevin, every time I'm with him, he has an interesting way of referring to God. He hardly ever says the term God. He just says Daddy. He's his brother. Daddy. And he'll be talking about Dad. He calls him Dad. Yeah, Dad. Dad's been blessing me all week, you know, whatever. Because he wants to personalize this relationship as a loving father to a committed son. Now, we kind of have a problem somewhat in our life because a lot of us may not have had the most loving father. It's amazing the men that came out of the World War II, even raised during that time. That was a hard time for men. And the guys that came out of it, they were tough. I mean, you've been marching up hills against, you know, enemy machine gun fire. You know, artillery explosions going all around. You could even get emotional because you're going to lose the guy next to you any time. And they were very calloused and hardened when they came out of the war. And they raised their kids in such a fashion, in a similar fashion. And a lot of kids never really had a relationship with their dad that was really based out of love. It was based out of respect, out of obedience. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And so we try to take the image of our natural father. It won't apply properly to our loving heavenly father. God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son to die for you, for us. He embraces us. He loves us. He is encouraging us. He put his Holy Spirit inside of you to guide and direct you. I was sharing with a friend yesterday. It was over. And we were talking about our path, part of our path through our career life. And I had mentioned to him, I never had a mentor growing up. I didn't have anybody to tell me, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? Can we do, should you, you should do this. Let me help you along. Let me guide you. Had none of that. Every decision I had made growing up was me. You know, picking up on conversations. Really, nobody guiding me in a loving fashion. But it made me tough. And there's a problem if I take the image of my father. And I'm not trying to attack my dad. I'm just trying to tell you things that have happened. He didn't like me. In fact, my mother said he hated me. Because I wasn't like him. And so when I try to take Father God and imagine him like my natural father, it doesn't line up. Now, to renew my mind to realize I've got a father that loves me and wants to mentor me. I had so little mentoring growing up that when I went to college and they gave me counselors, I didn't know what they were. I didn't know their role. Didn't pay much attention to them. I was so used to guiding myself what I wanted to do or what I thought I needed to do. And so it took me some time to learn how to receive instruction from other people. Still trying to get Patty to receive my instruction. Straighten up, woman. And so, I mean, that's not going to happen. And so, to have a Father God that wants to guide me is foreign to my thinking, and I had to learn to seek God for counsel, for direction, and really believe I'll receive it. You follow me? But the peace God made with us through the cross, through the righteous impartation, has positioned us to have a 100% connected relationship with Father God. Do you follow me? You can't use your natural experience of a father, or any parent or overseer, as an example because it will never reach the level God loves us. And so, we now have peace with God. We can come to his presence anytime. Thank you, Jesus. He loves you so much, he gave you a prayer language. You can pray his perfect will anytime.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And he'll move on it. So that's the initial work of righteousness that brings peace. The second work of righteousness, again, is through the salvation of the soul, through renewing your mind to the Word, that God made you a new creation. Does anybody believe that?
Yeah.
How many know, how many were saved for some time before they found that out? I was saved for 11 years before I found it out. For 11 years, I didn't have peace. For 11 years, I felt like I was always letting God down. For 11 years, I felt like I was coming up short of the glory. And I'd say, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because I felt like I was never being perfect. And God never called us to be perfect. You follow me? He called us to pursue. He said, I'll make up the difference. Now again, this is part of my past testimony way back. I don't know when I really got born again. I know when I confessed Him as Lord and Savior publicly. I know when I made the commitment to really follow Him as Lord. But I remember when I was young, I really had a hard time at home. Doing great in school, great in everything for the most part. But the disdain I felt at home for my dad. The continual hounding, disapproval, you know, criticism would drive me out hunting all the time. And I can remember I might have been 12 or 13 years old. What's that?
Or fishing,
yeah. I'm out hunting. I'm sitting on the side of a bank. Got my BB gun. Start talking to God. Anybody can start talking to Him. And I had a heavenly download. God showed up and started talking to me. I know it was Him talking, but I knew. And what the download was, is God was saying, if you'll accept me and follow me, whoever does it, even if they make a mistake, I'll make up the difference. Let me think of a good example for that. We've had friends and family members that wanted to buy something, needed money for some expenditure. And let's just say it was $1,000, and they said, I got $600. And we said, well, we'll make up the difference. That's all I'm talking about. You're doing what you can, we'll make up the difference to get you what you need. And we do this with our children, we've done it with friends. We'll help you. You make an effort, we'll help you. Still do that with our kids. You show some commitment to it, and we'll make up the difference. What God was telling me was way back in the later 60s, probably, last half of the 60s, He was saying, you do what you can, I'll make up the difference. I've not read the Bible. I didn't know that was the story of the cross. I didn't know that was a story of righteousness. God said, you receive me, I'll change you. You pursue, and I'll make up the difference when you mess up. But that's it in a nutshell, pretty much, as far as God's willingness to work with us. So that's that side of peace. But over here, once you find out you're righteous, once you discover you're the righteous God of Christ Jesus, all of a sudden it starts to produce peace within you. Because the condemnation, the shame I felt, I mean, you can ask my wife, I share it all the time, I was after God when I got saved, 100%. I mean, as close as you could get. I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer all the time. I'm doing everything I can to pursue God. Fasting, water only. I mean, my weight was... I would say at one time I got down to 130 pounds. We're talking about in my mid-30s. I'm fasting all the time, pursuing God. And I'd go on a fast, and I remember once I went on a water-only fast. I was already in weight, was already so far down. And I went 11 days without anything but water. And I'd walk and things started spinning. I didn't have any fat left in my body. No calories. And, you know, you're only supposed to fast like 40 days. Well, I'd done probably 100 days. But because I'd eat a few days in between, I thought it was starting over a bit. I had to starve my body up. And I remember breaking the fast, eating an orange. I felt so bad. Oh, God, I couldn't even 40 days water. I'd gone week after week after week. Water. Back then, if you ate, that broke the fast in my mind. Can't do any bread fast. So, I feel such shame. I had no peace with it. Even though I'm born again, even though I have peace with God, spiritually, I don't have it in my mind, in my thinking, because I think I'm still disappointing God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But in 1995, I heard preached, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, old things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He has made Him new, no sin. Jesus to be sin for us. That we might be made, recreated, regened, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I heard it, and it leapt within me. a sinner. I never heard, nobody ever told me I was a saint before. I'm a born again child of God, I'm a saint. And this voice I've been hearing all these years beating me up was not God. It was Mr. Pointy Tail himself. It was condemnation devils hounding and pounding all the time. But I discovered I'd been made righteous. But you know what? It wasn't good enough to hear it one time. Remember our verse? It says, the work of righteousness shall be peace. I had to work scriptures regarding righteousness. Let me explain this for a minute. Back in 1987, Pastor Callan came to Kentucky, started preaching that we, it's God's will, we'd be healed of everything all the time, every time. God wanted us healed. Well, I've been to churches already. I mean, I've been saved 3 years now, back in 87. And they had told me God put sickness on us to teach us a lesson. Remember Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. You hear the stories. And I said, I don't know if that's true or not. So I went home and I wrote down every I got my Strong's Concordance out. You've heard this before. Got my Strong's Concordance out, and I wrote down every verse in Scripture regarding healing, health, whatever. If it dealt with healing, I wrote it down. I still have the spiral notebook somewhere, pages and pages. And I spent a few weeks reading over those. And after a few weeks, I came to the conclusion Pastor Callum was telling me the truth. God wants me healed. If God didn't want you, if God wanted to put sickness on you, since Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we'd find someplace Jesus put sickness on somebody. You follow me? Jesus, it says, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the representation of the Father on earth. And if the Father's putting sickness on people, we would find some place in his ministry all those years he put sickness on somebody. But he didn't. Do you follow me? He brought healing everywhere he went. And all of it came. You find no example in the Scripture anybody came to him that didn't get healed. Who did he heal? All that came. All that took a step toward God in faith to receive from God, received. And so when I found out I was righteous, I did the same thing. Now by then I had a computer. So I printed out every verse. I've still got it at home. Scriptural printouts on an old IBM Pro Printer dot matrix. Pages still tied together. Probably. I might have separated by now. Remember, you could pick up the whole thing and they'd be all tied together. Every verse in Scripture on righteousness. Righteous, right, righteous. Yeah, all the way through. And I knew by now I was righteous. But I wanted to work that word. Remember the work of righteousness? I wanted to work it, and I started working it in me and in me and in me and reading and reading and reading. And the condemnation left. The feeling of failing God all the time left. Because the work of righteousness is peace, not just between you and Father God, but peace in your mind.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you can enjoy Christianity. I couldn't enjoy it before. I went 11 years I was not enjoying my Christianity. I was dedicated. I was proclaiming it. Teaching Bible study for 4 years. But wasn't enjoying it because I always felt like I was failing. Is this okay with you this morning?
Yeah.
But when I started working righteousness, it changed my perception of who I was, how God viewed me. Now I've got peace in my mind. Now my whole life was how can I say, released from a bondage of condemnation into a liberty of being a child of God. And now I have fun. Patty, do I ever walk around the house despondent because I failed God or anything? Do I ever walk around the house despondent at any time anyway?
I don't know what the word despondent means.
Depressed and discouraged and feel like a failure.
That's why we love you, Patty.
I was going to make a political example, but I'm going to hold off.
She says what we want, so we
know. That's right. I'm the voice of the people.
Feeling overwhelmingly discouraged that you're depressed. Just, you don't respond, just like, wish I could die. You follow me, that kind of attitude. I don't do that. I enjoy God every day. I don't have many people. I led to Jesus last week. Well, we went to Lexington. I stopped and bought some sandpaper flat discs on Marketplace from a guy, Lexington. Led to the Lord right there. Went to Sam's Club to get some stuff. A little bit later, led a guy to the Lord there. Just wherever you go lead people to Jesus. It's so easy. And what a joy. But it came out of the work of righteousness. Working of righteousness. And we don't have them here today, but we make these confession cards with a bunch of the key verses on it. And I recommend you get some verses on righteousness and you make it part of your daily confession. It's on my list. And you speak these verses over your life. Because you got to work it. Peggy's not here to share about gardening, so I can make stuff up. Well, she's probably other gardeners here. But I lived on the farm quite a bit. Had gardens quite a bit. And I know you just don't go out there and throw some seeds on the ground. You got to work the soil. Right? Plow it up, shovel it up, whatever, break up the clods, get it softened so that you can get the seed down in there. And you've got to do the same thing with the word of righteousness. Actually, any promise of God, you work it. You take that seed, you break up the fallow ground of your heart, you say, I'm receiving this, I'm going to get this, and you speak it over your life until it's real. Now, I'm not trying to make this sound hard. I'm trying to make it sound profitable. Because you can work the TV remote for hours a day. Or you can spend 20 minutes working the word into your life. One produces nothing. Except maybe exposure to the natural. But working the word produces eternal results. And I'm not just talking about when you get to heaven. I'm talking about right now. You can enjoy this walk. Amen. And righteousness brings you the peace in your mind. It's going to be okay. Now again, when the world talks about peace, they usually talk about getting rid of all of the problems. You follow me? If I could just get rid of all these problems, I'd have peace. But God's not saying he's delivering us from the challenges. He's giving us the power over the challenges. So we have a peace just knowing God's got our back and we always win.
Yeah.
How many of there's a peace there?
Yeah.
We have a peace in our mind because we know that the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. But also what we've been talking about for a few weeks is we have access to a supernatural peace. That one from spending time in his presence. A supernatural empowerment comes on us that our mind is flooded with an intoxicating peace of God. It's this way I'm going to put it. His presence has brought your mind to a place that is more than just not having problems. Of course, there's not going to be that or any challenges. It's not just because you know God loves you. It's because you're in a supernatural canopy of God's love. That a fruit of that is peace in your mind. And you just float through your days. And again, I remember it's been 20 years ago now, close to it. I don't remember how many. I got caught up in God's glory for almost 2 weeks. And you talk about a peace. I couldn't drive the speed limit. I couldn't balance a checkbook. I'm just like, oh God. Floating through the days. And when it lifted, when it came off of me, I said, God, what did I do wrong? He said, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm giving you a taste of what's to come to my church in the end times. And I'm talking about it now. This peace of God that comes on us through the love and the glory of God that rests upon us in these end times. If we'll tap into it. But you got to work it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have a garden. But I found I got to plant it. I got to shovel the dirt. And then, you know, planting is not the hard part. It's hoeing it.
Yeah.
De-weeding, all that stuff. You know, follow me?
Yeah.
I have a patio out back. A little brick patio. Most of you have probably seen it. By the dog patch. And every year it comes up with all these weeds in it. Sprawl. You know what sprawl is? It's kind of a flat weed that spreads out. Sprawl keeps coming up in it. And I can take care of it because I got some Roundup concentrate that will kill about anything, you follow me? I can round, or I have, how many have heard of preen before? Preen are these yellow little particles you spread and it keeps things from coming up from germinating, sprouting. And I have both of those. It's amazing how many times I go a whole year and forget to put any of it down. You follow me? And I get the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Had it done, and then I got to go pull the weeds. Sometimes I take a torch up and just burn them. I'm giving me a flamethrower someday. A little work ahead of time would have prevented the weeds from sprouting. But then I got to do major work because the weeds came up. Same thing's true with the Word. If the work of righteousness is in you, it'll keep the weeds out.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then all this stuff's coming at you all the time you got to deal with that wants to rip away your peace.
Yeah.
Go to Job chapter 27. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Right before Psalms. And this is the verse I've worked for 30 years now. 30 years I've been working this word, this verse. It's on my daily confession list. Have you got Job 27?
Yeah.
Look at verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast. I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. And you make this part of your expectation, your confession, when the enemy tries to bring condemnation, when he tries to bring shame, you say, no, I'm holding fast my righteousness. I claim righteousness. It's kind of like, I know everybody's played Monopoly, right? And you know, you're going and you hit that one square that says go to jail, go directly to jail. But you've already drawn a chance card that says get out of jail free. So you hit that square and the devil says, you're going to jail, you're going down, you've messed up, God's done with you, you failed. No, no, no. I pull up my righteousness card. It's the blood of Christ on this card. It's colored in the blood of Christ. In fact, it's orange. That means it's the glory. Just do that one in extra. My righteousness, I'm not letting go of. I'm holding it, and devil, you will not steal it from me. And you got to war over this sometimes. I hold it fast. I shall not let it go. Repeat after me. My righteousness. I hold fast.
I
shall not let it go.
My heart
shall not reproach me.
So long as I live.
Didn't that feel good? Now what do you do if you start doing that and do it several times a day till you get automatic? No, my righteous I hold fast. You're working it, you're plowing it in, you're getting it down in you, and the result is gonna be peace. You gotta battle a little bit, but the result is peace. We have this treaty, ceasefire just made, really a treaty made with Hamas, Gaza and Israel. And really it affects all the nations around. They've all had to sign off on it to some level. And it says there's a ceasefire. Do you follow me? And they're crediting this ceasefire to peace through strength. The word is it would have never happened, it could have never happened had Trump not bombed the nuclear facilities in Iran. I mean, he went, you know, where there were nuclear facilities they were building in Iran, there's now big pits. Big big holes in the ground, smoking holes in the ground. And Trump said, I'm not playing around. I don't make hollow threats. If I tell you I'm doing this, I'm going to do it. And they listened. In fact, the word was, in the last election, Hamas and the Islamic nations were really pulling
for Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Came out publicly last week. They said, we wanted Kamala because we know Trump is not playing. So when he put the holes in the ground, he started a golf course with a hole you couldn't miss. He got the attention of everybody around that area. He's not afraid of Russia. He's not afraid of China. He's definitely not afraid of us. We need to do what we can to get on his good side. And so they're calling it peace through strength. That's what Israel does. You know, Hamas has broken the ceasefire some in the past couple days.
Yep.
Israel said there will be a price to pay, and they're talking about a major price.
Yep.
Peace through strength. Well, in the same way, if you want peace with God, you want the devil to stop harassing you and, you know, sniper fire at you and, you know, trying to set car bombs off around you, you need strength.
Amen.
And the strength comes out of my righteousness. I hold fast.
Yeah.
I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
You war with it. You battle with it. You say, this is mine. I am not going to let the devil steal my righteous attitude.
Amen.
Now, the truth is, the devil can't steal your righteous nature. You can surrender it. In other words, you can say, I don't want God anymore. I give up on this, or even just continue to live in sin. You can surrender it, but the devil can't steal it. Bible says nothing can take you out of the love of Christ. Right? One thing can take you out of the love of Christ. Is everybody familiar with this verse out of Romans 8? Nothing shall take you out of the love of Christ. Height, depth, width, breadth, any creature. You know what the one thing left off the list is?
You.
You can't. The devil can't. But if you let him keep picking on you, beating on you, he's caused a lot of people to depart. A lot of Christians. And you got a war over it.
Yeah, you do.
I'm holding it fast. Years ago, my daughter had a dog. Was it Lady? Is that her name? Lady, little chihuahua, is a little bigger chihuahua, not the tiny ones. And I'd made some beef jerky. And I make my beef jerky, it's pretty thin, and it comes in slabs like this, whatever I can fit on them, big slabs. And I'd gotten a piece, and I sat down on the couch, I set it down, I turned around and grabbed it, and it was gone. I said, what happened to my beef jerky? Because I make it nuclear, it's pretty hot.
Oh, boy.
And I look, and there's Lady with this piece of beef jerky sticking out of her face on the side like this. And, of course, we don't want it now. It's hers. But she thinks we want it. And we'll say, come here, Lady. And she's running. She's under the table. She's running over there. We start following. She's going in circles. She's like, I'm holding fast my beef jerky. I'm not letting it go. Nobody's stealing it from me so long as I live.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever did catch her.
No. Just gave up.
Let her, whatever, you know. She had a revelation. I'm not letting this go.
Yes.
Nobody's taking what belongs to me. You know, I hate thievery. It may be among crimes my most hated are right at the top, that people will just steal something so they'll work hard for. I read all the time people's pickups are stolen, their motorcycles are stolen.
Wow.
I think in Georgetown was something stolen last week right out of somebody's yard or garage or something like that.
Halloween decorations.
Halloween decorations?
Yeah,
it was a vehicle stolen. I read about as well. Somebody stole their Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
People are stealing stuff. In Georgetown here, over by the Alamo, somebody stole a forklift one night a few years back. makes me mad. Makes me mad enough. I try to park my cars where they'd be harder to steal. You follow me? I put alarms on things, lock up my motorcycle. I go somewhere with the bike, I put it where it's in public view all the time. I don't want anybody messing with my bike. They can look at it. They can even touch it if they touch it in the right spot. Don't be trying to steal it. Is that right, Wayne?
I don't like them touching it.
Don't
even touch it. They look at it.
You see some of your bikes, they touch it, you won't even know it.
Well, and then when I go somewhere, I got Ginger with me, they can have my truck. Leave my dog there.
I got you.
That's right. Yep.
So here's the thing. We take steps to keep thieves from stealing our stuff. But the devil comes in and steals our peace and our righteous revelation. Time after time, we got to recognize what's of the more value. Now, protect your motorcycle, protect your truck. You follow me? Hopefully, nobody steals our dogs. I live at 129 Locust Ridge. Just kidding.
I can give you another one.
Your dogs probably eat our dogs.
Yeah,
we act like righteous is, oh, the devil can steal it. You want to go ahead and take it. You got to fight for it. If I was to come out and somebody was trying to push away my motorcycle, there's going to be a fight. I don't care how many there are. I don't care. There's five of them. There's going to be a fight. I'm, oh, go ahead. You got to fight. No, we're going to tangle. I may get the tar beat out of me, but if there's only five, it should be okay. I've seen every Bruce Lee movie out there.
Jack, I always say it, if you smack me, and I'll probably get up and forgive you. Yeah. You kick my dog, or you're going to see what temporary insanity looks like.
I agree, yeah.
We don't fight for our righteousness. We just go into pity parts. Well, I thought I was good. I thought God loved me. I thought I was going to make it. I messed up again. Oh, you worthless. You worthless fool. You messed up again. You're going to mess up again. Just get up and try again. Don't keep planning it. Don't plan mess ups. But when you mess up, get up and go again. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than your mistake.
Amen.
You're stumbled. Hold to that righteousness. Because you don't want to let go of that peace. And the further you get this revelation of righteousness, listen, the more you tap into the understanding of righteousness, the more you'll tap into that supernatural peace that you can live in. Why? Because you recognize me and God, me and you, nothing separating us. There's just nothing should separate you from the love of God.
That's
right. Except you. And one of the ways he separates you is to get you to believe you're separated from him.
Yeah.
Here's an example. You see how this works. Peggy, those puppies hate you.
Do they?
I mean, they prefer me much, so much more. They hate you. They only hang around you because you give them cheese sticks. And 27 treats a day. They really don't like you. They have on purposes in the house just to make you pick it up. Our dogs don't have accidents. They have on purposes. You can let them out, they'll run around, come back inside, go use the bathroom in the other room. And they know what they're doing. Ah, I got you, Penny. Yeah, you can pick it up. Get the shampooer. Half our days are shampooed. Woo! I'm not really going to be able to convince her those dogs don't love her. I mean, they adore the ground she walks on. She went to a craft fair in Midway yesterday. I'm at the house. I'm talking about two mopey dogs, especially where you're just moping. Patty left me, didn't take me. Now who's going to give me a treat? Not this one. Eat your food. You're not getting mine, eat your own food. That's not totally true. They adore her. And I could, there's nothing I could tell her to get her to believe the dogs didn't love her. We've got to be that way with God. Nothing the enemy can tell me, nothing I can try to tell myself would make me think God's not in love with me, got my back, and His blood's doing the work. I'm His favorite. Amen. But you don't get that automatically. You don't get it just from hearing this message this morning. You get it from hearing this message over and over again. From getting other scriptures that we're going to cover in the next few weeks over and over again that deal with who God's now made you. You're not who you used to be. What a miracle. Now, Patty got born again. I believe July 1st, 1984. We both got saved the same day. And when she accepted Jesus, she looked the same outwardly. I noticed any difference. We didn't notice a whole lot of difference once we got home. But she was changed. God had changed who she was. Just took a little bit for our minds to catch up with what God did. And out of that, she became a new creation that didn't exist before. Same looking Patty on the outside, but a whole new person on the inside. Same memories in the mind as before. Same experience, experiences she's had stored in those memories. But internally, she's not the same anymore. She's been rebirthed in the image of God with the nature of love. You got to work that. Remember, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You have peace. Everything's quieted within you. The voices are being shut down and you have assurance you're right with God. Assured. Amen. What an awesome, awesome opportunity. God loves us more than we can even comprehend.
Amen.
Let me read you. Oh, do I have time to go there? Probably not. Go to Romans chapter 14. It's probably the verse we'll go to a few times. We'll close with this. Romans chapter 14. Are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 17. For the kingdom of God. Look up here a minute. How many know we're already in the kingdom of God if we're born again?
Yeah.
This is not talking about eternally in heaven. It's talking about right now. Those who are born again are citizens of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And we can live out of the kingdom as much as we can release our faith in that. For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, what you're eating and drinking, your natural experiences, what you're doing for the flesh, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, interesting that all three of these are mentioned together. Your righteous nature and your righteous understanding will produce peace and joy in your life. The work of the natural, just throw this out, the contrary. The work of the natural is unrest and discouragement. See, work of righteousness. Kingdom of God. Yeah, the kingdom of God is condemnation mentality, unrest, and being discouraged. The opposite of peace, joy, and righteousness. The key is if you get a righteousness revelation, peace and joy will follow. And when people come to me, I mean, this is pretty universal. People come to me and say, I just want to have peace. I'll give them an answer they don't like. You don't know your righteousness. Yes, I do. I know my righteousness. No, you have a head knowledge of it, but it's not down here that you're living out of it with a revelation to shut down the condemning voices coming at you. That's why you don't have rest. If we got the revelation who God made us and where we're headed, nothing the devil can do to interfere with where we're headed, we'd never have another down day the rest of our lives. What an honor. What an opportunity. And God's taking us into this realm of living out of the kingdom by knowing who He's made us. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Father, let us want this word. Not just receive a nice, encouraging, cheerleading experience when we come to church, but let us work it in our own time to get the revelation of who You made us, that condemnation cannot eat our lunch anymore. Thank You. We refuse to let the devil steal our peace, steal our identity. We step into the fullness, functioning out of the kingdom. We declare in this church there are none in pain, there are none sick, there's none oppressed. You said in righteousness you should be established, you should be far from oppression, for you will not fear. Because of a righteous revelation, we are far from oppression. We have no fear. There's no lack. You said You supply all of our need according to riches and glory. And there's no oppression, and there's no strife, there's no failure mentality. And thank You. We give You praise. In Jesus' name.